Say that I think that things can be poetic and not even rhyme, you know. And so when I read this scripture, that's what always, you know, I think about that. And here the Lord is saying, he asks a question and then he answers it. And I like that too. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1, he asks the question, who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That's who it is. Amen. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the winefat? He answers the question, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 9. She has it there on multimedia. Paul speaking about the Jews and the Gentiles. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone away, out of the way. They are all are together become unprofitable. There is none that doth good, no, not one. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amen. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we love you. We thank you because of your mightiness and your determination, Lord, that you will always keep your word. Cannot fail in it. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would come to these that are gathered here. Lord, that you would honor their efforts to be here on this Wednesday night service. Lord, I just pray that you would make it worthwhile, that they would walk away with a blessing from your word. We pray, God, that they would be able to see you, see a man, but to see you, see your word, see your blessing, see your promises. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And I mean, it was the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah. If you don't have joy in the Lord, you have no strength. Right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. I want to title this tonight just one word. Heroes. Heroes. So I was looking at this, and I need to change to a different mic here real quick. Sorry about that. I was looking this up, and heroes, the definition of heroes. Brother Bram talked about being heroes, and he said, and the definition is a person who is admired for their courage or for their outstanding achievement or noble qualities. Amen. And so I was looking this up, and I was reading about it, and the usage of the word heroes over the past couple hundred years has dwindled down to where it's not been used as much. It's been tapering off. Except here recently. Here recently in the last, I don't think it even said when, but just kind of showed a graph of it. But here just in the last, I would say probably since the 50s and 60s and 70s on up to now, that it's beginning to come back up again. And so I was inquiring about this. Why was this the case? One of the things he said was that because of social media, and of course that's now, that's a little bit later, social media is now, because things travel the way it does, and social media makes it easy for the fame of someone or something like that to travel and be you know, quickly spread. I heard a message minister from Africa one time. He said, something happens here in the United States, and in 5 minutes, we know about it. Right. That's what it is. But they also said that one of the things was the Hollywood superhero explosion of all the movies of the superheroes and things like that. And so they were attributing to that. And so, you know, we look back at our forefathers, the ones who went and paid a price and died in war for us. We consider them heroes because of their great courage or their outstanding achievement or the qualities that they had, that they were willing to give their lives. And Jesus said that, you know, it's a rare thing that someone would die even for a righteous man. That's not, you know. And so, anyway, in reading this, and I was looking at that, and so the usage of this word heroes has kind of dwindled off, but here recently it's come back up again, and it's been because of these things we were talking about there. And it started with way back then, before movies really got out very much, but it started with comic books. The superhero thing became with comic books. And we know Brother Brandon has talked about those things, about the comic books, and he's speaking of how that we should not allow our children to see those things, that they should be looking at good literature, things that, and he's speaking about the things that we allow them to be partakers of. It's an influence to them, and it affects your home. And he talks about that, and he talks about how that in one place he said, I believe probably most of the kids in America, little kids in America, could tell you who Davy Crockett is, or somebody like that, or Daniel Boone, or something like that. And he said, but I doubt a third of them know who Jesus is. And so he's speaking there about the influence of it. And so there's been this explosion lately where, you know, now there's all these superheroes and things like that. And so when I look at that, I see that as Satan come in, and he's actually replacing something that was good and should be reserved for the kind of thing that we know it to be as. He's replacing that. And so now people are beginning to think of heroes again, but they're thinking of the wrong heroes because they're not really heroes. Think about it. They're not really heroes at all. And so people beginning to see these things again, but it's the wrong kind of thing. And I would just say that in this time when all this is happening, who is our hero? Right. Who do we look up to who has great courage and outstanding achievements and noble qualities about him? We know that we talk about it all the time. It's just the common theme of Christianity, that all humanity was lost. Right. Every one of us was lost. And we're all born in sin, shaping iniquity, coming to the world, speaking lies. We talk about that. That's a quote we use a lot of scripture we speak of. And so we're all born in that case. And so there was none among us who could save us. You know, if you take one man who's in jail next to another man, you can say, well, get us out of here. Well, that's ignorant. He can't, right? And so humanity being in the situation, no man could save us, right? Nobody can save us. And so, and it really, I've mentioned this many times, and maybe I should just let it all out. It really irks me when I see people giving honor to human beings like they're a god or something like that. And so it really bothers me, because he's the only one that really deserves that kind of respect and worship. People literally worship humans. Like even in Brother Brown's day, talking about concerts and women taking their clothes off and throwing up on the, you know, that. And so you look at concerts, they're in worship, yeah. Right? They're in worship. And so humanity was lost and couldn't redeem us. And so I just don't want to see man looking at man like he can do something like that, because he can't. Man is not the answer. So we read here in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 5, where he was saying in the scripture there, and I'll just read it real quick. And he said, I looked and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. The Lord brought salvation to us, but he's speaking of it. He said, my own salvation brought it to me, because we are his body. And so, but the thing I want to show you there, he says, you know, he comes with his apparel stained. Notice it's not his blood stained; it's the blood of his judgment that he pours out upon there. And he speaks about the wicked and so forth, and how that he would judge them. For in verse 4 it says, "For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed." And when you think about that, remember Brother Ram talked about how that John was carried over to the day of the Lord, right? He was carried over, said man's had his day, but now here at the end, God's going to have his way, and the scriptures refer to it as the day of the Lord. And over and over and over it says, who shall be able to abide that day? Who's going to be able to stand when God comes to this earth? Because, and this is, he's speaking of this right here. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, right? So the day of the Lord is in my heart. I am coming here, and I'm going to tread out the winepress. And you can see in the book of Revelation where he comes, and he brings the judgment upon the earth, and he refers to it as the winepress. And so in that, and so to me, this scripture is not just talking about when he hung on Calvary, right? When he did those things there, which was great, but he has to do things today also. And so when he said there, he said, I looked and I wondered. So here he is, he's coming. The day of vengeance is in his heart. He's coming to do this. And he said, is there anybody with me? Is there anybody? And no, nobody could do it. And so I think about there in the scriptures in Revelation where the cry went forth, who's worthy? And nobody could answer. So it's imperative that we understand. He said, there wasn't anybody. Not a one of them. Every one of them gone astray. Nobody was standing. So you can understand that we've come to this end time hour, and there was no church, no system, no government, no person that could do this. Right? Like in his day, there was no one that could die for our sins. There was nobody that could open those seals up, which listen, I know people like to, you know, confuse things and say, why do we even have to know about these things? But listen, John wept because somebody was not able to open that book. It must have meant something. John, who walked with Jesus, who Jesus loved, had the Holy Ghost, all these things, and yet he knew that even all these people who had gotten the Holy Ghost and all these people who had been martyred and all the things, they're still lost if this don't happen. And when it come time for this to happen, there wasn't anybody found anywhere that could do it. And when I read this in Isaiah, you know, Brother Rem said, Isaiah is a Bible in itself. And here it is close to the end of the book of Isaiah. Here is the Lord is speaking there. And he says, the day of vengeance is now in my heart. And I've come and I look to see. He knew there wasn't anybody. But you see, he has to act these things out. He has to ask that question and say, who is this that coming? He knows who it is that's coming. But he wants you to know. He wants you to know that none of us could do it then, and none of us could do it now. So when he come now, and he did it now, and he said, I've come and I've done it, and by myself I did this, and I got this to myself, I brought redemption to me, to my body, to my people, then I think we need to pay attention to what it is he did.
Right?
Right? Because none of us could. Nobody, no denominational leader stood up and said, I'll open those seals. Right?
Right.
But there was one who could. And I think that it would be very important that we should listen to that. Listen to what it is he did. Amen. Who is worthy? That happened in our day too. So the scripture said, while we were sinners, he died for us. And it wasn't just that he could do it, but he did do it. Amen. And the prophet says, when it comes here, when it says, when he said, and I don't want to just, I'm not trying to take away from anything God done in previous ages. They're all there to build up on top of. But the prophet, your prophet, our prophet, the one we believe that God used to open, to bring this to us, Lamb opened the seals and speak through him. He said, when he was looking there at the scriptures, then that this cry went forth. Nobody was worthy, right? Who's worthy? Nobody. And then the lamb come, and he come and he looked, and the lion of the tribe of Judah turned, and it was a lamb, a bloody lamb. And Brother Brandon said, the most sublime thing in scripture. You mean that's more sublime than Calvary?
Right.
think, not to diminish Calvary, but just like John knew that if this didn't happen, we're done for. Even if there was these things over here.
Right.
So that's why the prophet can say this is the most sublime, because if he died for our sins, we love that, we appreciate that, but he's also got to claim us.
Right.
And if he doesn't claim us, it's not done. Redemption's not done. So he gets to himself, and he makes it very clear right here in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, nobody helped him do it. So why would we want to lift anybody up or any system up or any other thing up and make it like that's our Redeemer or that's where our help cometh and we're going to look to the government for the next great thing to happen and that'll settle it? You know, it won't. It's only coming from him, and he's given us what it is that he sent to this earth to settle it all. And this that we're talking about is pouring out the judgment on this earth. It's changing our bodies. It's bringing in a millennium. Because he's done it. Amen. And so, he died for us when we weren't even looking for him, as the scripture said. We're just out here, as the prophet said, we were heathen with clubs on our back. Still are. Right? We still are. So, but he did it.
Right.
Amen. He cleansed with his blood. His cleansing power, the cleansing power of his blood, is so powerful. He's standing on Calvary on the cross and his blood being shed. And that blood was so powerful that it was able to reach back in time and redeem all those from the very beginning, all the way up, those underneath that blood, underneath that life, and also be able to reach all the way forward and to reach everybody forward. His blood cleansed all dispensations, right? The scripture said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
Right.
That blood was so powerful that it could reach across span time. That means it's here tonight. That's right. It's here not right now. That blood, it is still the bleach that can take our sins and wash them away. I love what the prophet said when he said, that when the sin is put in that bleach breaks it down. It sends it back to where it come from. So that means it has to go back to the devil. But Brother Graham, he said in at least one place, he said, that actually becomes bleach.
Right.
You think about that. Our own sins, once it's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, there's something about that that can clean also. And I think about that. Our testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony. And when you tell people what God has done for you, that has a cleansing effect on them. It begins to move on their heart. They begin to believe because they're hearing this testimony. What's it doing? It's cleaning them. It's moving them underneath that blood. Right? So you heard it from the prophet. I'm so glad that God recorded those things for us so we can hear it ourselves and not have to wonder about what was said. I don't have much room for someone to say, well, he said this and he said that, but when they're going by hearsay, show it to me. See? And there's no excuse. There's no excuse for people not to know, because it's available. And so his blood reached from eternity to eternity. In other words, all through time. And cleansed. But not only that, the scriptures tell us that his blood, not only did it clean here on earth, but his blood went into heaven and cleansed heaven also. You think about what Satan did there, what the Lucifer did. That tainted thing there that it defiled even heaven.
Yeah.
But God had an answer. He had the answer that when he come down and shed his own blood, that blood could also cleanse heaven. And she'll bring that up in Hebrews there, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. And he said, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding blood is no remission. It was therefore, now Paul was speaking about the earthly tabernacle and how the blood of bulls and goats and this earthly tabernacle was a pattern of the true. Right? It was a pattern down here of the true. And so when he's speaking this, he said, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven, this pattern of things in heaven, that pattern was should be purified with these, speaking of the blood of bulls and goats, right? But that heaven itself, heavenly things themselves, with better sacrifices than these. So the blood of bulls and goats could only satisfy for a while, and it couldn't go into heaven. But now he's speaking of the blood of Jesus Christ. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, not just this earthly tabernacle, but which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So if God is up there in his heavenly places and he looks upon us, then the effect of that blood has to be there for him to see us righteous.
Right.
Amen. So when Jesus did what he did, he purchased the whole thing. Amen?
Yeah.
He purchased the entire universe, the earth, the whole thing. He purchased it. And he certainly purchased us. You know what he did? When he did that, he spoiled the enemy. You know, when armies go, when they go and they battle against someone and one army conquers another, they go in and they take the spoil. They take whatever they want. It doesn't matter because they are the conqueror. They can have what they want and nobody can stop them, right? And so, you remember when Abraham went out and he fought against the kings there that had taken Lot and Sodom captive? He went out there and defeated them and come back, and they come back with all this. And the king of Sodom was going to let Abraham, let him have all the spoil. And Abraham said, no, I ain't taking none of it, but lest you say that you made Abraham rich. Because Abraham knows that God's the one who made him rich, right?
Right.
So he's like, dude, don't touch that nonsense. Stay away from it. Don't be found becoming rich off of filthiness.
Right.
So you see what I'm saying? We should apply that to our day about what we're willing to be involved in as a job or as an income. So abstain from the appearance of evil and all those kinds of scriptures. He said, I'm not going to do it. But you see, he had went out and he'd gotten all those things there because he had conquered those kings. And so he said, I don't want none of it. Just, you know, let these people have their part or whatever. And so Jesus, when he won and he conquered, he took spoil. He took Satan's spoil from him.
Right.
And he took everything he wanted. Right? So he conquered the enemy. He's victorious over him. And we are that spoil.
Right.
We are what he took from Satan. Right? He took us out of the hands of Satan. He had us. And he conquered him and took us out of the hand of Satan. And so we are his victory. You've heard that before. We're his victory. You want to know what the victory of the cross was? You're looking at it right here in this room. Right? Because had it not been for that, we'd all be out doing who knows what. So we are testifying now. We are the victory of what he did on Calvary.
Right.
We are the spoil that he took back. And we are the riches that he gained. You know, when you go out, I'm sure that they'd conquer other countries. They'd come back rich. So we are his riches. Right? He came back from Calvary loaded with riches.
Right?
Why? Because he was able to gain something that no money could buy. No person could do. Right? He had the goods, and he could purchase the most expensive thing there is in all the universe, God's elect people. He was able to do that.
Right.
Amen. And so we are his riches. Came back from Calvary just loaded down with riches. I picture it with the natural wagons, just miles and miles of wagons with gold falling off of it. He just totally, totally just destroyed the enemy. Amen. Thank God he did.
Yeah.
I like talking about him.
Yeah.
I do. Other people won't. I want to. Let the world do what they want. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Amen. He came back. And so we are his victory. And so I'd say let us be good examples of what he fought for. Let us be good examples. Let our life show what those riches are. Right? Let our lives be worthy of the gospel. Amen? That's what we're here to do. We're not here to get rich. We're not here to be famous or whatever. We are here to show the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. That's the riches that he purchased when he purchases. We are those riches. And you know, you've heard this before, but you know, when you buy something, you pay money for it. You are valuing the thing you bought more than the money you give for it. Or you wouldn't do that, right? And so, you know, he saw us greater riches, right? It's like even talking about Moses when he was there. He looked out and saw Israel. He counted the reproach of Christ greater riches. That's what Christians do. We count the reproach. We count this life of the gospel of Christ greater riches than this world can give. Right. At least that's the gospel I read. That's the gospel I believe in my heart. And I say that because there's a lot of people out there that tell something different, but it's still a gospel where we're willing to say no to things in the world that we might embrace Jesus Christ and his life within us. And so we are his riches. And so he valued us more than himself.
Right.
Think about it. It was more important to him to go to Calvary and suffer the way he did, right? It was more important, we were more important to him that he would do that. He would go to Calvary and suffer for us and pay that price, willing to suffer and lay down his own life. And you could say, well, he knew that he could raise it up again. But you remember, he did that as a man. He did that as a man. He suffered the fear that we would have had, the pain that we would have had. See, he did that for us as a man. Or else, you know, he couldn't be kinsman redeemer, right? He had to be, when he was hanging there and God turned his face away from him and he said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? He felt totally rejected and alone there, just like we would if it had been us without him.
Right.
Amen? And so he was willing to give himself. We were more valuable to him than himself, than his own holiness, his own righteousness that he had. You know, we said here a while back, holy just means to be set apart, sanctified for a purpose, right? So God is in a class of his own. He is holy. He is set apart because he's the only one with the character like we're talking about. And so that makes him holy. And then he calls us and he wants us to be holy like he is. In other words, he wants us to begin to be like him, let his influence come upon us and begin to change us so that we act like him, we represent him, that others can see him through us. That's why he wants to be. And so what? That can only happen when we are set aside from the world to be holy.
Right.
And being set aside like that means you can't defile your body, you can't lust after your neighbor, right? Right? You can't. In other words, you can't do things that defile God's program because he's the author of life. And when we start doing things that's contrary to what brings life, well then, that's not holy. Because holiness will always testify to God and to the things of God and the things that are right. I don't care what the world says. They try to change the definitions of things like that. They're insane. They're insane when they'll take and know that biology says there's just two, a male and a female. And they'll try to make it out to be many and try to put it in law and try to make you obey it.
Right, yeah.
Because they've lost their minds.
Right.
Amen. So he alone is holy and righteous and by himself in that category. I mean, he knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
But he didn't want to be by himself. He did not want to stay there in that condition. He could say, well, you know how we would do, like, look at me. Ain't nobody else in the world like me. He didn't do that.
Right.
He had the right. He could have done that. He's the only, I mean, he could stand there and say, yeah. But he didn't want to be there by himself. He wanted to draw others into that same holiness, into that same life and purpose. And so he gave himself was willing to sacrifice himself so that he wouldn't be alone. Because of that, he's my hero. Amen? I hope he is yours too, and I believe he is. You know, when you have a hero, you want to be like him.
Right.
That's right. Kids on the playground can prove that. They want to be like Superman and Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk. Why? Because they've seen it. They've been exposed to it. They see it as something great. And so they want to act like what they're thinking, what they see to be great. But if we could take the comic books and the movies and all and throw it aside and let them see Jesus, they'll want to be like Jesus.
Right.
Yeah? That's why it's so important of what you let your children be exposed to. Brother Bram said, letting them see these comic books that off of the mantle, I think he said, or whatever, in a drugstore, and he said, it ought not even be used for fire to make a fire with. But yet it's put before children. Right? And that was where this super. Remember he's talking about super this, super that. He preached the messages. Super sign and all that. Everybody wants super duper. See Satan coming in and gearing them up to their minds to be totally cinched or burned over with their idea of what super and what greatness is. And it's all this man-made nonsense that Satan has come through there and blasted out to the people. And you and then when you talk to about a Savior that can heal your body, don't mean much to them. Because they're burnt over with all this other stuff. And so that's why this prophet spoke about those things, because in one place he said, letting them see the comic books that's preparing their hearts for a blast that's going to come from Satan. I wonder what that blast would be. I know it's been a long time since I said it, but you know when something explodes, it's not boo. It's not like that. It's boom. You can't get away from it. And he used that word, a blast. So what kind of, and so something's going to happen and boom, and next thing you know, all of the young people who's been feeding on these things, now they're going to be caught up in something they couldn't get away from.
Right.
Amen? So he was speaking about those things, and I'm still speaking of heroes because now people are looking at the wrong thing, and that's their heroes. That's what they look up to. They look up to Hollywood and sports players and movie stars and there's all kinds of it. That's what they look to. And they think that's great. And they sit around and, oh, I wish I was like that. I wish I could meet that person. When the greatest of all, they don't have to travel to Hollywood. They don't have to buy a ticket. They will come right down into their bedroom and talk to them at night or in their living room and talk to them.
Right?
Right? Just like I said, most abundant thing on the earth is water. And then we got everybody drinking something else. You know? And I ain't condemning people who want to drink a soft drink. I'm just saying, water is the most abundant thing. But I'll say this, most of it's contaminated too.
Yeah.
Because man's done it. We need the pure water of life. Not defile religious stuff, speaking spiritual and natural. Amen. And so they want to be like the ones that they see on the playground. They do that, and they just need to see the greatness of Jesus. His influence on us will cause us to want to be like him.
Right.
And not only that, his influence on us will make us like him.
Right.
That's right. His influence will make us like him. Brings his qualities down into us. Because we spend time with him. We think about it. We talk about it. We fellowship about it. We read about it. We pray to it.
Right.
Yeah, that's why it changes your life.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. Amen. And so that is why the supernatural has always been around God's people throughout all of history. Right? Because God is their God. And what is a God? He won't manifest himself among you. He won't keep his promises. He keeps his promises. And so, because he's the one that purchased us, he's our hero, he's my hero, then we should be willing to express Him in every aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
Every aspect. Open every door to our heart, to our home. Let Him have free rein on anything. You know, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let me say it this way. If you love me, keep my word.
Right.
Right? Not talking about Ten Commandments, some of those things that, you know, we have a greater form of what those were. But if you love me, keep my word. Why? Because it's His word is what keeps you.
Yeah.
Think about that. You are the object of His love. Because He loves you, He wants to keep you. So what does He do? He gives you His word, and He asks you, if you love me too, then keep my word. And by doing that, that keeps you.
Right?
Right? So it's a it only works if the love goes both ways. Think about it. A marriage isn't very good if there's not love going both directions, right? And there might be times, we know that there's times where one loves the other one don't care, and eventually later on that person realizes what they've had, and they come around and they live happily ever after. Amen? But that love, to really get the full impact of everything, it has to go both ways. Now, He loves us. He has provided for us. But now, do we love Him? Is He our hero? Do we sit around and think about Him and talk about Him? Or do we replace Him with something else? Because if we love Him, then we will follow His word. And then therefore His word, and it'll just wrap us up in this reciprocating relationship of husband and wife that we are. See, Satan is a void filler. He is a void filler. When he looks and he sees that there's, there's something I can capitalize on, he does it, right? That's why it's important that the voids in your life need to be filled with the Lord.
Right.
Your thoughts, your actions, your time, your life needs to be filled with God. Because if you let down a place there that God has not got control of in your life, that void will be attacked by Satan. He'll do it just as sure as anything, because he's a void filler.
Yeah.
And so when we begin to take away the image of Christ and His holiness and what He did for us and how that He died for our sins and is a real hero, when we begin to let that, then our young people and all people, then that leaves a void there. And Satan comes along and fills it with something else. And so now everybody begins to idolize man and idolize machines and idolized cars and stuff like that. And it's all because they let Christ down. That's us, what I would say. If he's your hero, make sure that he's what you're idolizing, if you want to call it that. What you're worshiping, not idol. But what let him be what fills your heart and your time and be what's on your mind.
Right.
And that way, you know, Satan's not going to come in there. He can't come in there and fill it. I'm going to tell you what, if he tries to come in the house and the Lord's standing there, he's going to turn around and walk off. He's going to leave. Right? Amen. That speaks directly to the token.
Right.
That death angel will try to come in there and say, can't come there. The blood's there.
Yeah.
Right? You know what that means in our day? That blood come from a word that was rejected. Bleeding word. Christ, I don't know if you ever noticed it like this, Christ crucified again. Remember the type and the shadow there when Moses, said, smite the rock and water come out, and he did. And then later on he got all haughty and the Lord said, speak to it. And he got all, and he smote it again. Christ was the rock that was smitten on Calvary. He's the revelation. Word, right? Rock, revelation. He's that rock that was smitten, that the water of life come out to us. After you repent, after you come to that, you have troubles, you go through hard times, he doesn't have to be crucified for you again. You just talk to him, speak to him.
Right.
But Moses broke the type. Moses broke the type, and that's why he couldn't enter the promised land, because Moses broke the type because he smote him again.
Right.
But that was prophetic, because Christ was smitten 2,000 years ago, and he come on the scene again in word form today, and they crucified him again today. And that's why the prophet said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Even the scriptures show that they would do it again. We're all thinking, well, Jesus didn't stand there today and get crucified. He was. His word. It was rejected. It was crucified. And so my point is now that's bleeding word.
Right.
That's bleeding word. The blood, the life of the message that they're condemning us for believing. The life of that message. And that's what has to be on display as a token. Can only happen now at evening time. Can only happen over here in the day of vengeance when I'm coming and doing these things. Only happen in this day. Now here we are. We have to have that kind of blood, that kind of life on display.
Right.
Not just a testimony, well, Jesus of 2,000 years ago, but the current word today that has been supernaturally manifested, that is what was rejected by the world. But let that blood be on me.
Right.
Let it be on each one of you. But let them condemn. Let them talk like we follow a man or whatever. It's not a man. It's God. Same God that led Moses. Same God that led Elijah. Same God that led Peter and James and John and Paul. Amen?
Amen.
So, you find where I'm at in my notes. We want to be like him. And so he's asking us, if you love me, keep my word. Keep my commandments. Keep my word. Because he loves us. And when we do, When we allow that influence to come upon us, and that makes us like him, and that sets us apart, and now we stand in the face of opposition, and we stand in ways that the world looks at us and says, how can they stand? How can they? Well, here's how you can do it, because you got fellowship with God. That's why. But when you got people now who do that, then those people can actually be looked to as heroes also. Right? Because there's no greater love than a man would lay down his life for his friend. No greater love. Let me say it this way, just speaking of the ministry, not trying to pat us on the back. But no greater love than the ministry would say no to a lot of things they could do so they could dedicate themselves and their lives to praying and seeking God, that God could speak through them.
Right?
Right? They're laying down their lives. Now, that's just a mild form, But that's it. Heroes lay their lives down for you.
Right.
That's why our forefathers that fought and died. They're heroes. But ain't no movie star going to die for you.
Right.
No ball player going to die for you. See what I'm saying? It ought not be. He should be the one we look to, that we love and we adore. Because he's the one that died. And then when there are people in your life around you that live the gospel and he's working through them, you can look at them and you, not to worship them, but you can admire the God who's got his hand on their life and that influence that they are upon you. They can be a hero to you. Brother Ram talked about heroes, and he quotes sometimes that poem, I don't remember the name of it there, it's Psalms of Life, I believe it is. And then there's a place in it that says, don't be like dumb cattle and have to be driven to everything. Right? But he said, let us be heroes in the midst of strife. I'm not quoting it perfectly, but in the midst of strife, let us be heroes.
Right?
Right? When the world hates it and everybody wants, let us be heroes. Let us not be like dumb cattle and we're just whatever, but let us stand and be heroes. Let us give our lives for others. Amen? That's what a hero does. That's a real hero. Now let Satan try to replace it with all this other nonsense and have people worshiping all kinds of stuff, whatever. But real heroes would give their lives for their friends and for others. Amen? That's a real hero. Amen. And it all comes from the hero, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So yes, Satan's a void filler. We're going to keep ourselves full of God so that he can't touch us. Amen. You know, the scriptures, I didn't put it up there, but we keep ourselves full of Him, keep our mind and our thoughts full of the Lord. Because the Scripture said, He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord.
Yeah.
Listen, we live in a world where Satan can come and he can come and steal our peace.
Yeah.
Right? There's so much that can steal peace from God. Look out there. People's not happy. Amen? But we can have peace. Peace of God that passes all understanding. Be a hero in the midst of all the strife.
Amen.
Just bow our hearts to Him. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this little time together with Your people. Lord, I pray that these words was an inspiration to them. They could take and think about it. And Lord, it would help them in their daily walk. Lord, it would give them inspiration to fight even harder. I know they do fight. They fight against this evil age and the enemies of it. And Lord, I believe they're Your people. And I believe they will not be defeated. We are confessing Your word that we are the invincible army because not because we don't fall, we fall from time to time, Lord, because You always have us get back up because of what You put in us. We love You, Lord, and we want our lives to be a testimony. We want to live in such a way as that other people could look at us and see You, and, Lord, see the great hero that gave His life for us. Lord, there's no way that a mortal man can say enough about what You did. There's just not enough words and not enough time, not enough wisdom to be able to lay it out, Lord. But I want to say, Lord, I thank You because You've given us and given me in the ministry opportunity to spend time telling others about You. Lord, we just appreciate all that You do for us, and we pray, God, You give strength to Your children as they get ready to leave and go home tonight. Pray that You be with them, keep them safe. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Do you serve Him?
Amen.
I'm not going to do that song because I don't know all there is to it, but amen. We love Him. We'll sing I Love Him again. I know that's a one we sing a lot when we close, but because of what He did. If we could just let our minds just let the Lord just kind of, sometimes I think, you know, He uses our imagination. Think about what it's going to be like to be there and see Him.
Mm-hmm.
Look over and see one another and know that it's over with. My goodness, you talk about a shout.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Daniel, I'll probably outdo you then. They're like, where'd that come from? You know? He might outdo me too, so. Oh, I love You. And I love Him because He first loved me and He purchased my salvation on Calvary Street.
Be perfect.